This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're going to pick up now with David Weinberg's story from yesterday about two men who are trying to revitalize American industrial design. It's a story about craftsmanship and imagination and enterprise as well. They've set up a patronage system of sorts, and their first commission is a motorcycle called the Bienville Legacy. Here's David again.
David Lenk has spent his entire life surrounded by industrial design. His grandfather was at one point the largest manufacturer of soldering irons in the world, and he later attended the Rhode Island School of Design.
So I guess you could say I've sort of been born with this bug and have sort of nurtured it through my whole life.
Today, he designs museum exhibits for a living. After finishing a recent job in New Orleans, his employer took him to a French Quarter bar called Molly's. By chance, they happened to sit next to one of the most renowned motorcycle designers in the world, J.T. Nesbitt.
You know, it was a Motorhead moment, and within, I think, two sentences, we were talking about French coachwork of the 1930s, and the conversation ended with an invitation to visit his shop that Saturday, but nothing could have prepared me for, you know, what I saw there.
JT's shop is called Bienville Studios. It's about a block from the Mississippi River on the edge of the French Quarter. When you step inside, it's surprising just how spare it is. A small workbench, a few racks with parts, some toolboxes. But the most striking thing in JT's shop is in the center of the room. It's a strange-looking motorcycle, balancing on a hydraulic lift like a statue on a pedestal. It's a prototype that JT built. He's named it the Bienville Legacy. When David Lenk saw it for the first time, he was so moved, he cried.
Yes, I did. And what I saw was a motorcycle that basically challenges many, many engineering precepts that go back 120 years. This is a guy who not only stepped back to square one, but then he stepped out of the square.
Let's go back to square one. The origin of the motorcycle is essentially a bicycle.
I mean, think about the first motorcycle. It was a bicycle that somebody hung an engine onto.
But with this motorcycle, the Bienville Legacy, JT started from an entirely new origin point, the bow.
The very first man-made spring is a bow and arrow. So this technology is like Paleolithic, man. It predates civilization.
Imagine a bow and arrow pointed at the sky. Where your hand grips the bow is where the engine of the motorcycle is attached. At each end of the bow is a wheel. So instead of having shocks like a regular motorcycle, the entire bike is one big leaf spring. It looks like it's part beast, part machine.
Well, there's no example, of, as far as I know, of anybody else in the world ever doing that. It is completely original thought.
Alan Cathcart has written about motorcycles for over 30 years. He's been called the Kingmaker because he's often the first person to ride and review new bikes. He described JT's design as breathtaking, though to most people, it simply looks strange.
It doesn't matter whether it's a strange-looking thing, because we don't have to sell them.
If this were a typical corporate motorcycle, the plan would be to put this bike into production and sell them for a profit. But this is not a profit-driven endeavor.
To look at this for short-term recoupment would be to undermine the overall purpose of what we're up to.
That's Jim Jacoby. He's put up his life savings to pay for the building of three prototypes. Jim gave JT a blank check and told him to build his dream bike without any constraints. The expectation is that by allowing JT the freedom to experiment with new ideas and materials, breakthroughs in engineering and design will emerge. When I visited JT at his shop, one of the first things he showed me was a small box full of bolts.
What are these right here?
Man, this is titanium hardware that I actually designed.
These titanium bolts and other hardware alone cost $30,000. Boeing's prototype shop in Seattle is manufacturing them.
There's no motorcycle out there that uses this much titanium, this much carbon composite, structurally. I think that all motorcycle designers want to use those materials, but they're limited by their budgets. And now it's available. 10 years ago, I couldn't have done what I'm doing now, because the military-industrial complex had sucked up all the titanium.
One of the byproducts of this motorcycle is 8 original engineering patents related to the suspension system, says Jim Jacoby.
The outcomes from the patents might be new ways of even doing suspension on automobiles.
This is one potential long-term source of revenue from the bike. If the automotive industry adopts these ideas, it would have to pay to license the patents. When JT was commissioned to build his motorcycle prototype, he signed over the patents and all the intellectual property to the ADMCI, the American Design and Mastercraft Initiative. In exchange, he was given total freedom and an unlimited budget for materials. And he gets his rent paid, but zero salary.
I think on balance, man, I'm coming out way ahead. I'm giving everything I can to live my dream. I get to reinvent American motorcycling.
The next step for JT and Jim is to prove that the motorcycle is more than just a beautifully crafted, groundbreaking machine, that it can perform. So they're taking the bike to the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah to attempt to break a world land speed record.
The weight advantage for a variety of the design decisions is tremendous. I mean, it's probably going to net out as a 350-pound bike with a 300 to 350-horsepower engine, which is, by any definition, a rocket.
And Jim has decided that he wants to be the one to ride the bike across the Salt. He'll have to top 200 miles per hour. He's never gone anywhere near that fast on a motorcycle, which he admits is absurd.
It's completely absurd.
But, he says, it's also necessary.
There are a variety of tenets that are crucial to taking on a commission, and one of them is proving that it's not just an art project. It's a design that is, as JT would put it, proven on the field of battle. And so the field of battle here is the Salt Flats.
After JT finishes building the motorcycles, he will remain a part of the ADMCI.
I become one of the people who's involved with selecting the next project.
He will get to help pick out the next master craftsman to get a blank check for their idea.
To go sit down with people and ask them the question, what would you do if you could do anything? And when somebody asks you, what would you do if you could do anything, you had better be ready with a good answer.
Another good one from Marketplace's David Weinberg. The visuals on this story are pretty good, too. You can see the Bienville legacy and take a peek inside JT Nesbitt Studios at marketplace.org.